Let's turn to Psalms 8. Larry got me started Sunday night. He spoke on Psalms 19 and a few other passages and or a few other areas. And I was talking to him a little bit afterwards, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just show some slides of some of the things that we were thinking about this past Sunday night. But Psalms 8, and I'm going to have some people also read some other verses. But in the beginning of Psalms 8, it starts out like this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. The word heavens, this word for heavens is used 240 times in the scriptures. And 200 of them, or 198 of them, I think it is, or else 202, I don't remember which, but right in that ballpark, it's either talking about the heavens, the skies, or the atmosphere. And then there's 20 other cases where it talks about the host of heaven, people in heaven, and people that are returning from heaven when the Lord comes back, angels. But who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that you might still the avenger, still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And I looked up that word heavens, as I said, and there's a number of times where it's used. I was thinking of Dan, or Larry mentioned sometimes when he goes out snowmobiling and he gets out into a pasture or a meadow down way south of here. And you and Linda go all over the place on those things, don't you? Yeah, right. I see Linda nodding her head. Yeah, it's amazing how many snowmobile trails there are, and how far they connect. But that's another message. But when he mentioned the fact that when he gets out in the country where it's dark, and you turn off the bike and you just lay back there and look back up at the stars, you know, and he said it's amazing how many there are. You can see 5,000 to 6,000 stars in a dark sky down around Allegheny or Shelley's, or, you know, down in that area, wherever they wind up under snowmobiles. But I mentioned that to Scott when he came back from Kuwait, and he said the stars were just incredible. And it's a tremendous thing. I mentioned to Larry after the meeting that I had just written, I'm on the Earth Science Teachers Mentors Network, and one of the fellows had written me. We've been writing back and forth. I think he's in the Finger Lakes region, or else he's in the Catskills. And he mentioned that one time he took a small group of kids in an honors class up to the Adirondacks, and they were up in the high mountains. And he woke up in the morning in pitch black, and he woke up and he looked over at the wall over here, and it was his silhouette right up against the wall. And it was about 4:30, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. So he looks out the window to see what's making the shadow, and it's planet Venus, the one you've been seeing over the lake over here, that people have been writing in about UFOs and stuff. But the planet Venus, it went so dark up in some parts of our state, up in the Adirondacks, that just one planet can cast a shadow over on the wall apart from it, you know. The scripture says there's glory of the sun, and there's glory of the moon, there's glory of the stars, you know, and then the planets, of course, are reflected light from the sun. But it still gets dark in some parts of New York State. Not a lot. You almost have to go down towards Cowdersport, PA, to get into a really dark sky. But there's a lot of good verses in the scriptures about the heavens. We remember the one about Genesis. In Genesis, where God talks to Abraham, in Genesis 15, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven, and tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Chapter 22:17, he says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And as I look through the different passages, I want you to listen to the passages that are going to be read right now. And I think you'll be surprised at one of the themes that comes out when God talks about the heavens. Let's have whoever has Job 38:31. Let's hear that one. Job 38:31, nice and loud.
Canst thou bind the feet and torn them of slavery, or
Right. Okay, Amos 5:8. Amos 5:8. Psalm 50 and verse 6. For God is judge himself. Right. Psalm 97, 6. Isaiah 45, 8. Daniel 12:3. As the stars forever and ever, right? Isaiah 51:6. And the last one, 2 Peter 3:13. And the common word was not only heavens, but it was also righteousness. Isn't that interesting? Those verses kind of jumped out at me. I've never noticed that association before in reading about the heavens. Now, some of those heavens talk about the natural heavens. In Psalm 50 and verse 6 is talking about the heavens, okay, heaven and earth being a testimony of God's righteousness as God judges the people. But there's other passages where it does, where those words heavens actually refers to the heavens as well. But righteousness, and I often thought of the power and the majesty and the glory of God in creation when I thought of the heavens, but I never associated it that much with righteousness until I was doing some verses here for us tonight and for a message in Emmaus that I'm going to be getting together as well. So that's an interesting, you might want to look to follow that up sometime, those two associations of heaven and righteousness. God emphasized righteousness when he talked about his heavens, and we need to be righteous people. We need to be holy people. Judgment needs to be true according to the Word of God. And a couple other verses before I show you some slides that go along a little bit with these topics. It says in Psalm 102:25, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. So Proverbs 3:19, which is very familiar for those of us that learn the memory verses in Proverbs 2, 1-5, I think. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he has established the heavens. And there was another one that talked about, as Jeremiah 10:12 says, he's made the earth by his power, he's established the world by his wisdom, and he stretched out the heavens by his discretion. I think I gave you that one the last time I spoke on this. How many have had a marble in their hands tonight? Got an idea how big it is? Larry was talking about how big it was, the distances to some of these planets and some of these stars. I was reading in the Sky and Telescope magazine this week, in fact it was about last on Sunday, that they've discovered a sun that's bigger than our sun, and it's 1200 times bigger, or no, 6200 times bigger in diameter. If you were to take that marble and go over to our driveway over here where the fence is and walk across the street to that driveway that goes into the American Legion lot, that marble represents our sun. And that would be, if you stood right in the entranceway across the street to the parking lot, that would be in the center of a star whose diameter would run from Salisbury down to the for sale sign on the second apartment house down here. There's a satellite dish on the front porch. 175 yards compared to a half-inch sun. This thing would be 175 yards in diameter, one sun, one star. The biggest superstar, the biggest supergiant star they've ever observed, and it's about 45,000 light years away. You were talking about light years last Sunday. 45,000 light years away. A light year is the distance that light travels in a year, 5,600,000,000,000 miles. And it's invisible in regular light. It's invisible, but it's an infrared light. And an infrared light, it's, let's see, I want to get this straight. It's 150 times the size of the sun in diameter, and our sun is 108 Earths across, okay? So that would be 16,200 times the diameter of the Earth. It's 400 million times brighter. 40 million times brighter than the sun in infrared light, heat light. 40 million times brighter. They're pretty positive it's a star, but they don't think it's two or three stars going around each other. But they're going to research that in the coming years. But that's a big star. No wonder they call it a giant. I'd like to just show you some stars, some things in the solar system tonight, or in the universe, I should say. And there's one in particular here that I'm also going to give you some star names from this book our brother Ken Fleming from Emmaus. I'm not going to give you a lot of them because I want to show you, spend most of the time here on the stars. But let's just have a quick light up, please. Oh, that's not the one I wanted. Well, that's Hercules. Let's see. Let's go a little farther. Okay, this is the summer sky. I thought I had us on the winter sky, but this is the summer sky. This is Lyra the Harp. And in the Lyra the Harp, we've got a star that exploded, and this is the atmosphere of that star. I don't know if you can see the cross here. Let's see. Where's my pen? Here we go. This is what I call the Northern Cross. Here's the top of the cross piece, and the foot of the cross down here. That's a Sigynnus the Swan. And in Sigynnus the Swan, we've got I think I've got a part of this that I put in. Let's see if I can find this attachment here. I lost my remote unit. Hang on a second. It's coming. There we go. And in that particular cross, there's a gas cloud. This gas cloud is quite a few light years across, and that's the color of the gases as you would see them if you had took a time exposure photograph of just light from a star lighting up these gases and dust in the Northern Cross, the Sigynnus the Swan. But here's the one I wanted to show you. Let's see if I can find my pen. Can you give me the lights just a second? I dropped the pointer. Oh, never mind. I've got it. Here we go. Got it? I've got it. Thank you. Okay. Our first verse talked about the Pleiades. Okay? Can you bring forth the Pleiades? Seek out the God who created the Pleiades and Orion. And this is the Pleiades of Seven Sisters, which is mentioned in Job and a couple of other passages. The group itself, the star, the bright star in the middle is, the name of that star means the center, and the Pleiades themselves mean the congregation of the judge, if you look it up in old, I don't know whether that's Hebrew or Coptic Egyptian. In Taurus, I don't know if you can see the greater than sign there, but Aldebaran, that's the yellow star, is Aldebaran, and the name of that star means the governor or the captain. And in the next picture, which we're going to have here, the next picture, this is supposed to be the head of a bull. And one horn goes up this way, one horn goes up that way. And we'll see that probably in this picture. Here's the head. And there's one star up here. This star up here means the wounded. And it's attached to a different constellation, Capella. But that particular star, Elnath, means the wounded. And a lot of the star names, constellation pictures sometimes in the Greeks and stuff are all corrupted. But a lot of the star names all have to do with the scriptures, and especially about the Lord. And this is that constellation Orion that we had in two verses. Orion is a hunter. Actually, the name means the brightness of his coming in either the Hebrew or the Coptic. The star in the upper left-hand corner here is a supergiant, but it's not as big as the one we talked about, Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. The word Betelgeuse means the coming of the branch, and that goes into the passages in Isaiah. The star over here, Bellatrix, means quickly coming or swiftly destroying. The star down in the lower, this is supposed to be a belt, or maybe that's, the belt would be, can you bind Orion there? The belt here, and then a sword down here, and then one leg, knee here, and a foot over here. The top star in the belt means the wounded one. That's actually the actual translation of the word Elnathak, which is that star. The right leg, right foot, safe means bruised. And the left star in Orion is Rigel, which means the foot that crushes. That sound familiar with Genesis? And later on, I don't know, I've got a picture later on to show you of the lower constellations down here, but the foot that crushes, he's got his head on a serpent called Lepus, which also talks about another picture of the story of the Gospels and the star. This is the Orion Nebula in the middle of the sword, gas cloud, where stars are being formed up in this area, particularly up here. To the left of Orion, you may have seen that this coming. Orion's over here in the south, and over just to the left of it is the brightest star in the winter sky, Sirius, which has to do with actually the constellation Sirius is supposed to be a dog according to Greek mythology. But Canis Major also means the coming Prince of Glory, and the star Sirius actually means prince. And some other stars, I don't remember which ones now, but some of the other names of the stars in this constellation are Ruler, the Glorious, the Bright, the Shining, Prince of the Right Hand, a whole bunch of names there that could have to do with the scriptures. Yeah. Oh, okay. This one is Gemini. There's two stars right overhead at night. Now, this is Mars, but this time of year, there's a real bright object up here, and Saturn right now is in the constellation Gemini. This is about up in here at night, right about there. See, yeah. But there's a high in the southeast or east southeast or south southeast, I should say. And there's two bright stars here, and then right over by these other three stars, there's a yellow, kind of a beige, like a manila folder, color of Saturn. So the planets move through Gemini. This one, let's see if I can figure out where we are here. This is. The next constellation is Cancer. Cancer could mean protector. The Greeks would call it a crab. But up in the constellation Cancer, over in this area, is a faint constellation which you can barely make out. There's a star cluster right up in this area. But Cancer, and then we have the backwards sickle of Leo, the head of Leo the lion. As you go farther and farther over to the eastern sky this time of year. Cancer has that star cluster up in here, which is the word parapsi means manger. Manger. And this is the constellation Leo the lion. And we can think about here's the head of the lion, body of the lion, and the tail of the lion, and the foot. The bright star Regulus right there. The bright star Regulus. Yeah, I have that here. Notice I don't have these memorized. Where did Leo go? Bright star Regulus means something, and I don't have it right here, but you can forgive me for that. Let's continue on a little bit. But these all have to do with stories of the Lord. When Larry was talking, this is one of the reasons I wanted to show these slides tonight. When Larry was talking Sunday, he was talking about these different objects that you see in space and stuff. And this is actually a picture of a dust cloud. And the dust cloud isn't getting any bigger. But what happened is that star in the middle blew up. And that whole star was surrounded by dust and gases. And it was just a fast explosion, and it got dark again. I was gonna shoot out the young people's strobe light, but I didn't want to shake anybody up. And I couldn't get it to work on impulse. So you can picture a strobe light in your mind, how a strobe light flashes and it's gone. And this star blew up, and it was maybe bright for maybe a week or two, and then it just died out. But the light kept escaping from the explosion. And just like when you see lightning, you don't hear the thunder right away. Well, the light is moving outward from that star. And you can look at some of the stars in the neighborhood. There's four stars here. There's a bright one up here and one down here. And in each picture, the light is getting closer and closer to these stars until finally it just about touches that. So there's probably much more dust all the way around the star that hasn't been lit up yet by the explosion. And remember what Larry told us last week, that light is traveling 7 trips around the world each second. But it's traveling in a straight line. So the more months, put your hands down, please. The more months, you can see this goes from May until December, and just from May, the cloud got from here out to that star right out there. And I wonder how far it's gotten by now. This is March of 2004. It'd be interesting if they took another picture and see if that light is still expanding outward in the cloud. Notice the stuff inside is getting dark again. The light has already passed by the dust on the inside. The dust isn't spreading out that much. It's just that the light is traveling out, and it's lighting up different parts of space. This picture just came out last November, December. They started publishing this one, and I wanted to make sure I showed you that because this to me just it looked like a Christmas ornament almost, you know. It almost looks like a Christmas ornament on the bottom there, or a cocoon of some sort. But just think of the beauty that there is out there. We can't see it because we're so far away from it. This thing's probably thousands of light years away from us, and yet the telescopes bring it right into view. Here's another star that exploded, and it's surrounded by dust, but what they did is they put a polarizer on it, like your sunglasses. They put two polarizers on it, and they turned them so that it almost gets rid of most of the glare, and they produced these iridescent rings. The iridescent rings are the right color, but there's a dust lane. There's a lane of dust right up through here, and it blocks out our seeing the star itself. But this thing also is about hundreds of light years across. This is a big, big source of dust and a source of illumination in space. We're part of a galaxy, of course. What we've been looking at is just individual stars or stars that exploded and stuff. But we're part of a galaxy, the Milky Way. And we can't take a picture of the Milky Way because we're inside it. I mean, we can take a picture of a line of clouds, but we can't see a spiral or anything. But they think that this galaxy is probably a classic similarity to the Milky Way. It's a spiral. Yeah, spiral galaxy with about 4 or 5 arms. Spinning around, let's see, which way is this spinning? This is spinning counterclockwise. They've only got one picture of a galaxy that's rotating clockwise. All the rest of them are counterclockwise. And of all the millions of galaxies they photographed with different orientations up and down and right and left, you'd think they'd have more than one that's rotating the opposite direction. Because if you travel to the other side of this galaxy, it would look like it's spinning clockwise. But it's amazing. They have one picture of one galaxy that just the outside ring is going the opposite direction of the rest of them. God's made a variety of galaxies. They're not all the same shape. This one looks like it has a galaxy core that's going this way, and then the rest of it's spinning vertically like that. Our galaxy is 150,000 light years across, and each light year is about 6 trillion miles, and it's made up of probably 100 billion stars. Now, I don't think that's what God was talking about in Genesis when he talked about knowing all the stars by name, or when he talked about the seed. I think he was talking about what you can see in space, you know. And when it talks about he knows all the stars by name, why would he want to waste his time naming 100 billion stars in a galaxy, and there's 100 billion galaxies or more. I don't think that's referring to that. I think it's referring to our part of space that that the psalmist and the prophets observed when they wrote that. There's another one. I don't know what constellation that one's in. That's got some nice tight arms, and then some that go way out into space. All of that blue stuff, all that fuzzy stuff, is all zillions of stars. And it has a little variety with kind of a dipsy doodle ring around it. It's a pretty cool one. Kind of a sombrero with a little tilt on one side. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff here, all of these are stars. But the closer they are in the middle, the whiter it is. But all of that stuff, all the blue stuff, are individual stars. The individual stars you can see are in the Milky Way, shooting out through the Milky Way, out to the galaxies beyond. Sometimes you see pictures of galaxies that collide, and they claim that two galaxies with 100 billion or 150 billion stars each can totally pass through each other without having any stars collide. It messes up the shapes of the galaxies. It throws them in all different kilter. But they don't think that there's a lot of star explosions or star collisions when you have galaxies, because there's so much space between stars. The nearest star to the sun is 4 light years away. When you get into the cores, if the cores collided, I suppose there'd be some collisions in the center of the cores. The cores, the stars in the middle of that and the middle of that are only a couple of light years away or less. And sometimes you see more than two collide. Well, here's one. Call that a tadpole. Can you see a tadpole? Those of you who used to pick up tadpoles in the ponds, and in the polywag ponds, head of a tadpole and a little tail there. When you look at that one, there's a galaxy there, and there's a galaxy there, and there's a galaxy there, and there's one there, and there, and down here. And there's all these little long smudges are galaxies like we've been looking at. That's what they call it, space, I guess. It's just goes on, and it's just full of these galaxies. Sometimes you see one, sometimes you see two. They call this one the mice, because it has a little bit different tail. And sometimes you see four or five in close proximity. Actually, this galaxy here is very close, relatively close. This one here is relatively close. The other four are kind of fuzzy. It looks like there's two here combining. They're farther away. But there's one. There's one down there. One down there. One up here. One over here. One down the corner. Just the tremendous variety that God has produced in the universe. Sometimes you see really weird stuff in space. These are photographs. This probably represents an hour or 6 hours of photographs, photography. Sometimes there seems to be some polarity between these two bodies. There must be a lot of dust in here because it's real black, and dust over in here because it's real black. But I think this one goes out to about there. Sometimes they're separated. They call this one Gomez's Hamburger is the nickname they've given this one. Gomez's, yes, right up here. Gomez's Hamburger, why they call it Gomez's Hamburger, I have no clue. But it's gases or stars. I think this is a nebula, so this would be gases in here and in here. And then the one I finished up with last time, Pillars of the heavens. And this is the classic photograph from the Hubble Space Telescope a couple of years ago. You could fit the Earth's solar system, the Sun's solar system, in this black spot. From Pluto's orbit here, the Sun, the Pluto's orbit there, taking 242 years to get across all the way around the Sun. But you could place our whole solar system in one of those clouds of dust in that particular photograph. I think that's pretty neat. And each one of these fingertips, wherever there's a bright light, up in here, over here, down there, over here, are all places where stars are being formed today, where dust is, where gases are collecting and forming dust. Different colors, in here, reds and pinks and blues and greens. Just tremendous shots from space. we're more apt to see something like this, where we just see stars, or these are three planets. We've got Venus, Jupiter, and Mars. I think it is Venus, Jupiter, and Mars. This was down, this was a while ago. This was 67, because the railroad tower was still up down in our place. But we, with the naked eye, you're more likely just to see something like that. And you've seen Venus this past 2 months now, or a month or so, we've seen a bright Venus in the west. And that's what we're all waiting for, right? That's where Ray Mishner spends his holidays. But I hope that just that little bit, you know, kind of, I just wanted to, hoping to kind of put into visual for us what Larry was speaking about on Saturday, or on Sunday, I mean, in the evening, in terms of just the great distances, the great power of God in creation. And yet, what really impressed, as I said, what impressed me too, what impressed me too was the fact that he talked about his righteousness. When he talked about the heavens, he talked about his righteousness, and that might be something for us to think about. How do the heavens discuss his righteousness and show his righteousness? As we go out and see stars when the clouds disappear sometime this week or next week, and the stars disappear and we can see the sky again, certainly we won't remember all the meanings of those stars in Orion and Gemini and some of the other constellations there, but God has laid out his splendor in the heavens, and it's just something we have an opportunity to share, not just telling people, boy, those stars are neat, but you know, it shows the power and the wisdom of God in creation. Let's just have a word of prayer.